Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Talking some NBA, Dan Favalli, NBA writer for Bleacher Report, deputy editor of NBA Math as well. You can find him on Twitter at Dan Favalli, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Dan, how you doing today?
I am doing well. How are you doing?
Wonderfully, we are doing well, and today we do Top 5 Friday. So today, our Top 5 Friday is reasons why the Bucks will win a championship. So basically, Bucks fans are going to get a chance to dare to dream today. But you tell me, if you had to give me statistically or some things that you see trend-wise throughout this season, the reason why the Bucks, not only record-wise, but should be considered the top team in the NBA.
Well, I think you look at a few things, and you start with Giannis Antetokounmpo, where, no, he's not all of a sudden this prolific jump shooter, but he's never been more comfortable taking him off the dribble, has these little sort of fadeaways now. And whether those go in or not, you want them to go in, but they do put pressure on defenses and change the way that you have to guard them. And so that neutralizes perhaps some of the problems they faced, particularly against the Raptors last year. Eric Bledsoe also has done a pretty nice job in isolation himself. And so you look at how big of an issue he became on offense for them at points last year during the postseason. There's a chance that they end up being much better suited to go up against a defense like the Raptors, or maybe even the way that the Boston Celtics will inevitably defend them. That's going to help them out a lot. And finally, I think what also helps them is that while they haven't gotten to it often, they have played Giannis Antetokounmpo at the five more than they've ever done before. And so that's something they sort of have in their back pocket if they're one looking to create a mismatch, or two, if you find yourself going up against a team that might trend toward the smaller side, if it's a Boston or a team like that.
When we look at, say, the Western teams, is it the Clippers, is it the Lakers, somebody else? Who right now is that biggest threat out West?
I think we have to default to the Clippers at this point. They're deeper and they seem more well-rounded. They can play more styles. When you just look at having JaMychal Green and Marcus Morris, both of whom can kind of step up at the five. You have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, two of the best wing defenders in the NBA. And so you have so much versatility there. The Lakers are intriguing because they have LeBron James. You know, he's made the most of this time away from the season. And the idea of him being fully rested in the playoffs is actually sort of terrifying. But when you lose Avery Bradley and you still find yourself relying a little bit on Rajon Rondo, and you play so many two big lineups, and you haven't necessarily given yourself a ton of experience with the with smaller combinations, where it's not just Anthony Davis at the five, but you haven't decided is it Markieff at the four, Kyle Kuzma at the four. There just seems to be more variance baked into how the Lakers are going to perform when they come back, and so I think you have to name the Clippers as the West favorites right now.
Which, you know what, facing Kawhi again, maybe the Bucks, if they win the championship, you get over the nemesis that was Kawhi from last year. Maybe it makes it more satisfying. Giannis said that this is going to be the hardest championship to win. Budenholzer kind of backed it up, even though he did backtrack a little bit and say, hey, look, everybody that's won a championship says that's the hardest one they've ever had to win. But when you think about the circumstance, the Bucks had the best record, but they've lost home court advantage. It's a neutral site. You're living in a bubble. You're coming back. Maybe everybody's not in the best of shape. Is this, in your opinion, going to be the hardest championship to win?
I don't know if it'll be the hardest, but I think people probably throw the term asterisk around too much. That's really for if a team that, you know, we weren't expecting to win all of a sudden wins, because we see these powerhouses kind of fall off and struggle to work through rust. If the Oklahoma City Thunder or the Dallas Mavericks made it out of the West, that's what that would be reserved for. If it's a team other than, you know, one of the preordained favorites, Milwaukee, the two LA teams, you could probably throw Boston or Toronto in there a little bit. If it's someone outside of that primary contender circle that wins the championships, that's when you start to throw the term asterisk around more. But I do think there's going to be just a level of difficulty regardless, because these guys have not played NBA competition basketball for what's going to be basically a third of the year when they come back. And you're all of a sudden, you're not just going through a preseason and then starting with the regular season. You're going to be into games that matter, into these high-stakes tilts, almost in no time. And so there's this pressure on you to work through the motions quicker than you would have if this were the start of a normal season. And so I could definitely see where Giannis is coming from when he's looking at this, as other people might view it as a chance for maybe these underdogs to seize and capitalize on an opportunity. But for just every team in general, I think the road is just a little bit more difficult because they're so much less pressure than they would be normally.
Talking with Dan Favale, NBA writer for Bleacher Report, also the deputy editor of NBA Math. And I wanted to ask you when I'm reading the other day that they're picking out of the East. Obviously, the Bucks are the top dog, but they say, well, that team that's got that legitimate shot, Philadelphia keeps coming up. Tell me why Philadelphia all of a sudden is kind of a fast-growing darling, since they weren't really playing great basketball the last we saw them.
The biggest reason for them just has to be that Ben Simmons had the chance to get healthy. He was dealing with a back injury, and I don't even think his return date had him coming back by the start of the regular playoffs, if I'm not mistaken. Al Horford's also been pretty banged up this year. You've given his Achilles or hamstring just time to heal, and so they might just be fresher overall. And I think there was always that element of they can really dirty up a game just with their defense. They can play super big, and they can grind opposing offenses down to a halt. And in the playoffs, that can end up mattering more so than it does in the regular season. I don't think they're all of a sudden going to have it together on offense, or that they're all of a sudden going to be deeper, because those were two problems that they were definitely facing beforehand that haven't gone away. But if they're healthier and they can still sort of ugly up the game on the defensive side of the ball, I think there's a clear path to them coming out of the East. I wouldn't call it a favorable one. There's probably at least three teams I put in front of them, but there's certainly a path for them to get out of the East.
Then you mentioned Boston. Boston's another team that has this peskiness to them. What about Boston makes them a legitimate threat?
I think one of the biggest things is that everyone was sort of worried about their absence of size in the front court, and they've put together a top seven defense anyway. Jaylen Brown has shown that he can defend bigger players. A ditto for even Marcus Smart, who, despite being, I think he's 6'3 or something like that, just feels positionless with the way he defends. And then really the growth of Jason Tatum as a shot creator has helped them a great deal. You still need him to kind of level up in the sense he has to create more shots for his teammates, but he's shown that he can make some more complicated reads. For now, just the more important thing is you have Kemba Walker as one of your from-scratch creators, but now that Jason Tatum has developed basically into probably your best scorer at this point when looking at him creating his own opportunities, that gives you just two guys who can go out there and make buckets, get buckets out of nothing situations, and you need those types of players in the playoffs. And I think we've seen them kind of peter out in years past because they didn't have that player, or they only had one of those players. And now that you have two of them, one of whom in Jason Tatum has played borderline all defense this year, it's a huge deal for them.
As I was reading, the Clippers have shut down their practice facility. We know that others have, the Nuggets, the Brooklyn Nets have as well, because of the coronavirus, not necessarily all with players. There was some part of the traveling party as well. So they did it as a precautionary measure. Do these teams that don't get that additional facility time? Do you say, okay, that might set you back, that's set you behind? Because certainly Anthony Davis feels like the rested legs for the veterans that they have over with the Lakers and the workouts that they had, kind of unofficial workouts that they had at that you know, millionaire's facility that has the Staples Center in his backyard, that they feel that they're ahead of the game. I mean, coming out of this, do you feel like there's one team that has an advantage or a couple of teams that have an advantage over the others?
Looking at how much time maybe they've had to play together, I think you can certainly talk about the Lakers or just any players who are out in Los Angeles at that sort of, you know, famed Staples Center replica, whatever you want to call it. I think the bigger advantages come for teams that were just dealing with injuries in general, or maybe players like a James Harden who's so overtaxed during the regular season that he's petered out in the playoffs in the past. Now you're getting him at a point where he should be fresher for the postseason. I think that ends up being the bigger advantage. If you're a team like the Nets or the Clippers, it's less than ideal that your facilities will be shut down at a time when so many other teams are now actually officially together. But everyone's going to kind of be dealing with the same thing. Even when once they get to Disney, I believe they have to be quarantined for a certain amount of time anyway. And so I don't think anyone gets a demonstrative advantage from that. If there is a team, though, I think Anthony Davis is absolutely right. It's going to be the Lakers, just based off their location, proximity to that Staples Center replica.
Also, one more thing before I let you go, and getting back to the Milwaukee Bucks, when I look at this, and the one thing that I keep coming back to is the depth. And when it's the depth of a team in a shortened sprint like this coming out of the situation we are in, does that favor the Milwaukee Bucks because of the depth, because of many different guys that are not, say, MVP-style candidates, but are guys that are role players? They've got a depth and a plethora of role players on this team. Does that benefit the Bucks as well?
It absolutely does, and there's probably more of a debate on how valuable depth outside your top six or seven guys is in a typical postseason. But for the Bucks specifically, you look at two elements of their team, and one every other team is facing. If there is just an injury, because some of these players haven't played for so long that they might be more susceptible to getting hurt, you have guys that can fill basically every single role at every single position behind them, and that's absolutely huge. And then for them, there are some of their key players, and namely Eric Bledsoe, just based off what we've seen over the past two postseasons, where there's probably a little bit more variance attached to their performance, particularly on offense. And so if he's struggling, you know that you have George Hill. You know that you have the emergence of Dante DiVincenzo. So the fact that you have other options, if one of your players outside of Giannis Antetokounmpo, and I'd throw Chris Middleton in there, is really struggling, that just helps them a great deal. And as I mentioned before, they also have this ability to play in a few different ways. They haven't really leaned on it. They do tend to like having that traditional five in the middle, but if they want to, they can downsize and try and mismatch against other teams. So I think that depth is absolutely going to help them no matter what. And in a setting like this, it's probably more helpful than it would normally be.
Excellent stuff. Can't wait for it all to get underway. Dan, appreciate your time, okay?
No problem. Thank you for having me. Take care.
Thanks so much. Dan Favalli, NBA writer for the Bleacher Report and deputy editor of NBAMath.com. You can find his stuff there. So thanks to him for joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been doing it. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.